meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea, for the winds have changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, everybody, and welcome. So good to be with you. It really is.
Yes.
I have to say, it really is. Today, I say it, you know. Don't know what we're going to do, but no, I do have. I've got some stuff here to talk about. And but anyway, how's everybody? I'm Father Anthony, by the way.
Oh, and hi, welcome.
Anthony. I'm your brother and brothers. What it was, brother? What is that song? He ain't heavy.
He's my brother. He's my brother.
I don't. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about here. But anyway, I'm with you, and I do share your distress, Geraldine.
Yes, thank you.
And the kingdom and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus, to take those words, borrow those words, yes, from St. John as he opens the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. So here we are on Thursday in Chicago at this very interesting time in the history of humanity, history of the human race, history of this nation. The winds have changed. Mm-hmm. The landscape has changed. What am I talking about? I don't know. We'll see. We'll talk. Well, we've been talking all for 5 years, actually. Yeah. I don't think it's mm-hmm. 5 years. Oh. No, I just think I'm coming to the realization that what is, and we've just got to brace ourselves, and I'll explain that as we move along. But anyway, Geraldine, how are you doing?
I'm doing much better now that I can come by the monstrance in front of the Blessed Sacrament. There's no question in that. I need to be here.
We need you to be here.
And I fear for the time when I will not be here, and that scares me.
Yeah. Well, let's not think about that. We'll just live one day at a time.
Yes.
That's what Jesus said. Just live. He says, stop it already. You know, mm-hmm. He says, yeah, stop it already. This is ya basta. That's what he says in the English, in the Spanish. Ya basta. Stop it already. Worrying about tomorrow when tomorrow hasn't even come and today has troubles enough of its own.
True.
So I'm with you today. He says, I'm going to get you through this day, and I'll be with you tomorrow, and I'll get you through tomorrow. So be happy. Don't worry. What do they say? Don't worry, be happy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Don't worry, be happy. But no, it's it's life, isn't it?
Life. It is life. It is. Yes. So,
anyway, and Christina, Tony, Nick, everybody's doing reasonably well.
Yeah, pretty good. I'm doing
pretty
all
good.
Right.
Good.
Busy as ever, but hanging in there.
Yeah, that's the old mantra every day, isn't it?
But I'm okay.
You're okay. Good. You're okay. I'm okay.
It's a mantra too.
What about you, Tony?
I'm all right.
You're all right.
I'm just here.
It's good enough for me right
now.
We're
never going to win. I tell you, we will never win anybody over to the faith as we are.
Feel that way.
No, I'm just joking. Because this is reality, as Christine always says. It's just life.
It's life. They know we're real people.
We're not real people.
Fooling around here.
We're not fooling around.
No.
We're not fooling around at all. We're
real. We're keeping it real.
We're not takers. We're givers.
Yes.
We are givers.
Yes.
Actually, one of our parishioners, Christina, how are you?
Okay, Father. You're hanging in there.
She's keeping it real.
We're keeping it real.
There's this commercial I was listening to. I don't know if you've heard this. And I forgot what it is. They're advertising some kind of vitamin or something, you know, mineral vitamin or herb or vitamin. And they say, you know, oh, I just wish I weren't so happy, you know. I don't know why I'm so happy. I wish I weren't so happy. Or, oh, geez, I wish You know, it bothers me that I sleep so well during the night and all that.
Oh, my.
But it's, oh my. But it's
where can I get that vitamin?
They're advertising the vitamin. You know, these are people who are so happy, they sleep well, and they're flying high. You know, mm-hmm. they're flying high.
Then you
high.
Take it and it doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, whatever it is they're selling, it didn't right. connect, but I just thought it was interesting. I thought it was yes. clever, mm. kind of clever, you know, so. Anyway, because I say always day, every day, always, every day, every day. I say always, every day there's an attack, an assault to the mind, the body, the soul, or the spirit. And yet, you know, God gives us a respite. You feel like you're at the precipice, you know, you're ready to go over. You know, you're just depleted of all energy. And then all of a sudden, you know, things kind of fall back into place and you get a little bit of a rest. I had a wonderful day yesterday, I have to tell you, so. And Nick says, you know, I had one of my days, and it wasn't completely rest day because I had meetings in the morning and in the afternoon, but I was at Mass for the children. And but I went to Mundelein, to the seminary. We have mm-hmm. a priest here, and I took Father Bogusław there. We took just straight Milwaukee Avenue, straight all the way to Mundelein, to the mm-hmm. seminary, to mm-hmm. the St. Mary of the Lake Seminary. I haven't done that. I haven't been out like that
in
probably since... I don't know, Christina. Maybe it was 5 or 6 years ago, I think. I don't
since you were in Rome? I don't know.
Well, since the first break since I've been there, that's right, sure. since January. But it was kind of nice, you know? It was kind of nice. It was just beautiful. It was the most beautiful day. It was cool, but it was just the
sunny
and spring, everything, mm-hmm. the leaves and the flowers and the trees and the
birds.
Birds were singing and the sun was shining and the grass was green and... It was just beautiful.
You were so happy.
I was happy.
Are you sure you didn't take that herb?
No, I didn't take the herb.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. And if you're flying high, you know it's something else.
Yeah, that's something else. No, we have to be
you're
in reality.
High. Yeah.
Be in reality. Because that's where the, you know, it's just the way it is, right? Mm-hmm. So.
You didn't see any deer over there, Father.
I didn't see deer.
Not this time.
No. Well, you always ask me that.
Because you mentioned when you were there before, there were deer. Mm.
Yeah. I remember being there in the wintertime once, and we came out. I was there for some kind of a meeting. It was way out the Mundelein's, about an hour from here. I think taking straight Milwaukee, it was, I want to say almost a two-hour drive. But it was beautiful. I don't know if I told you, but the sun was shining and the blue, the sky was blue and the grass was green and the flowers and the trees
singing.
And the birds were singing.
You were singing too.
No. Yeah. And but I was there in the wintertime once, and it was at the seminary. It's just a beautiful seminary. One of my favorite places, probably my favorite place in the Chicagoland area. It's just absolutely beautiful. And every season is just beautiful. But I really haven't been out there in a long, long time. And but I was out there in the winter for a meeting. It was winter. It had snowed. And I came out to my car, and there were all these deers around my car. Mm. Lots of deers. Probably 150 deer.
Oh, my goodness.
Deer. Because you don't say deers. You say deer.
Deer. Mm-hmm.
Deer. 150 to 200 deer.
Did they have a little doe?
They had lots of does. Lots of does.
No, there was $3.
Probably about five. I exaggerate, embellish it a little bit. About five deer. 5 to 10 deer. There might have been about 10, but they were. It was so beautiful.
Mm. None of
so
them had beautiful. A red nose.
No. Rudolph wasn't there. Anyway, Donner and Blitzen, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So anyway, wow. What's new? Anything?
I can't beat the deer story.
Well, I don't want to rain on everybody's parade. You know, I like to do that though. To be honest, misery loves company. Right?
Sure does.
Not that we're miserable. It may sound like it sometimes, right?
Yes. I probably think, oh, they're just the happiest group there.
It's a snapshot. It's an hour snapshot, but then there's a whole day to deal with. Yeah. So we
That's
get
right.
happy, we get sad, we
That's
get
right.
happy.
Exactly, yeah.
Or I do.
But I was reading that, you know, the future of the church, according to Pope Benedict.
Oh.
It's very interesting, you know, because I do, you know, as I said, this is the title of our show is The Winds of Change. The winds have changed. And indeed they have. And, you know, as I say so often, we say, you know, what do we do? What must we do? Lord, what must we do in this time? I think the hardest thing today is to reconcile with the fact that, in fact, the winds have changed. Mm-hmm. That we can't go back. Now, do we really want to go back? I this is providentially, this is where we are as people, individuals, in the world as it is, right? Mm-hmm. This is where we are. So often I think when we talk, you know, and certainly why not, you know, we like to reminisce and we remember the good things of the past, mm-hmm. you know, and the wholesome things, mm-hmm. you know, what is it, baseball and apple pie and...
Cracker Jack.
Cracker Jacks.
Warm puppies.
Warm mm-hmm. puppies. Blue skies and green grass and flowers.
Okay.
And
okay, I can't take
all that stuff, you know. Whatever, you know, you get the point, you know, yes. we've talked about it so often, not about that, but mm-hmm. about, you know, it's just what seems rather shocking that there seems to be not the kind of, certainly not the sensitivity to God and to the things of God and to the things sacred, all things sacred, life and all that, what has happened to us as a people, what are we becoming? What have we become? Mm-hmm. And again, as I was writing, I hope you got that letter translated, by the way, Christina. Should have been off to the bulletin.
Which one?
By now, Tuesday's letter.
No, I'm just joking. Yeah you did. Okay. It's in there. Yeah. It's in there.
Good. But is
a beautiful letter.
Thank you, Christina. That's why I said it, because I knew she'd say that. You know, so. But I was, in the letter, I was asking the question, you know, who are we? And where are we? What must we do? What must we do? And a lot of things. I don't know if I have the letter here or not. But anyway. But I'm constantly grappling with, you know, because it gets frustrating, even from my perspective mm-hmm. as any parent, but as a pastor, as a priest. It's just that our eighth graders are going to be graduating pretty soon, and well, you know that the graduation from school is in many ways their graduation from the church, mm-hmm. sad to say, you know. And how do you counter that? What do you do? How do we, as I said, you know, listening to us, people may not be attracted to, but we're living in reality.
Yes,
you know, we're not living in cyberspace. We're not
fantasy island.
We're not under the dominion of pop culture. I don't mm-hmm. think we are. Certainly none of us mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. And you know, so how do you? Because we're really competing with this. Highly secularized society, super, super sensitive society, so that everybody is so afraid to offend anybody by what they say. We're certainly in a society that is, I hate to say, but, you know, very greedy in many ways.
Oh, yes.
You know, highly individualistic, yeah. mm-hmm. you know, yes. don't this dictatorship or relativism mm-hmm. You do your thing, I do my thing. Don't rock the boat. Don't rain on the parade. Don't make any judgments. It's all about freedom. But what kind of freedom are we talking about? You know, it's not the what is. How do we? Can we distinguish between what is a proper freedom and what is a freedom that enslaves, mm-hmm. that really binds us to the flesh or to the things of this world, and leave us rather empty. And while we have to, you know, live today, as I said to you, Geraldine, not to worry about tomorrow, Jesus says, but, you know, today has problems enough of its own, mm-hmm. suffering enough of its own. So I'm with you today. Jesus says, I'll be with you today. I'll be with you tomorrow. But nonetheless, we do have to think about where we've come from, and we do have to think about the future. We have to prepare for the future. One of the wisest things somebody said to me once was, live today conscious of where you're going to be 10 years from now. I see that look on your face. Well, no, the best is yet to come.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
But the mortal remains will be down there.
Well,
yes.
maybe not. Oh, you know?
You could live to any of us.
You could outlive all of us. You could live to be 100 years old, God forbid, you know? But you could. Right?
But it could be any of us.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
I mean, look at that, the tragedy, the train crash yesterday. That's a terrible, yes. terrible tragedy.
What happened? I'm sorry.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Where have you been?
I'm in my own.
You're probably better off like that.
Yeah, that's why I tried.
No, there was a major plane crash or plane wreck in Philadelphia. Or was
train.
Or,
was it, train. It was a train?
What did
train.
I say?
You said plane.
You said plane.
I meant train.
Okay. And it was going twice as fast as it should have.
Twice as fast, yeah, and around a curve.
Over 100 miles an hour.
Should have been about 50, should have been 55 miles an hour around that curve, and it was going 100 and what?
I forget.
Over 100 miles an hour.
Kind of like the train accident in Spain.
In Spain, yes, exactly, exactly, exactly. And so they, now 8 people have died.
Yeah.
And 200, I think, plus are in the hospital. That's what I think.
Wow.
There were about 290-some people, I think, on the plane, on the train, mm-hmm. but maybe not two. I thought I read 200 in the hospital, but some are very critical. And it seems to me, I don't know, I get conflicting reports here, but that there are still people unaccounted for, So it's, but what a tragedy. But see, there too, you don't know. You know, they're leaving New York City, going to Washington, leaving Washington, D.C., going to New York City, and yeah, what happened, happened. So, you know. Anyway, it just reality is life is you know, it's like I told the people at a funeral on Tuesday. By the way, that's why I wasn't on the radio Tuesday. I wasn't here mm-hmm, Tuesday because right. we had a funeral and went to the cemetery. But it's trying to impress upon the people, you know, just especially the young people, you know, we've got because you get this sense, you know, that I mean, are we really oblivious? Do we really not? Are we really at a point where we don't care? We just don't care mm-hmm. about God. Do we not really question, you know, where have we come from? How did we get here? What is the purpose and the meaning of life? Where are we going as a people? What is my responsibility? What is my responsibility? What are my obligations, my responsibilities as a citizen of this world, right? Mm-hmm. Am I a giver, or do I take? Do I take? Do I take? It seems that we, because I was saying that one of our, and maybe get into this at some point, but I was very impressed. Barb, who's a teacher at Holy Trinity, is preparing something for her seniors who are graduating. This is their last week of school, and she's challenging them about the. Religion and the place of the church in life, and she brings it in this whole idea of, you know, givers and takers, and she speaks about the commandments of God. The first 3 commandments are really referring to what we give God, you know, that we acknowledge we've come from God, that we keep holy His name, we keep holy the Sabbath, we have but one God. We're not, you know, to eradicate from our lives any kind of idolatry. What are we putting before God? God has the first place. He's the giver of life, and only He can bring life out of death. And we will have to stand before God, and we will be held accountable for what we did or didn't do with the time that was allotted us, however amount of time that will be. And then, of course, the other 7 commandments are in reference to what we give to our neighbor. It's about giving, not about taking, but about what we give. Because if everybody's a giver, if everybody's giving of themselves, then we have, reasonably speaking, a genuine freedom. And we preserve peace among ourselves. And she refers to this experiment that was done where some people were designated givers and others were takers. And what eventually happened was the takers were left to themselves. They were ostracized and they were left to themselves because that's all they did was take.
Yeah.
Whereas the givers, you know, being generous and giving mm-hmm. to themselves and giving to each other, they could trust each other.
Mm-hmm.
They could trust each other because they were all concerned for the good of the other, the common good. Whereas the takers were only concerned for themselves.
And there's no use for, what use is it only for themselves, yeah, and for everybody else? Where's the benefit for everyone?
Exactly, yeah, exactly. And so it's life is, the Christian life, certainly, the church is about the giving, the gift of self, right? The giving. Our proper worship is we enter into worship, the adoration of God, and the giving of ourselves to God, because God wants to, in return, give of Himself. Mm-hmm. So anyway, but the future, this is the future of the church. I want to share with you these words of Pope Benedict something really to think about. Mm. We can talk about this, but the fact is the winds have changed. We're in a different reality. We're always in reality, but we can't live as if we're in the past. We can't pretend that perhaps we can make it again be what it was, because it will not be. Things have changed. And so we'll talk about the future of the church, but when we talk about the future of the church, we're going to be talking about what, in fact, is, that the future is here. The future is here, as Pope Benedict wrote this even before. This was in preparation for the year 2000. So we come back, we'll look at that. Okay, everybody, don't go away. We will be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change holds in our hearts and prayers those who gave their full measure in defense of our nation. Remember their sacrifice on this day of remembrance, Memorial Day. Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to His people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
This year, our nation celebrates the 150th anniversary of the ending of our Civil War. What lessons can we learn from history? Does Abraham Lincoln's wisdom apply to today? Was Jefferson Davis really so wrong? Plan to come to St. James at Sag Bridge, Lamont, Illinois, Sunday, June 14th, Flag Day, for a unique Civil War reenactment you won't soon forget. Come and sit in the oldest church in Northern Illinois and listen as Father Robert Miller and Father Tom Coys bring Bishop Augustine Barreau of Florida and Archbishop John Baptiste Purcell of Ohio to life as they reenact their actual 1860 sermons. Gates open at 1:30. The drama begins at 2 p.m. Burgers and Civil War era treats will be available for purchase. Bring the whole family. Learn about the ideas behind the bullets.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Burgers. Every time I get hungry. You know? Burgers. I haven't heard that in a long time. We heard the other day I heard it, but I mean. So first of all, I'm assuming everybody knows that there was this report or this study. The Pew Research Center came out with this study of the state of religion in the United States, and of course, it shouldn't be no surprise to anybody, but the Christianity is progressively decreasing, and people, especially young people, millennials, I guess you know, more and more don't even identify themselves as affiliated with any religion. They call themselves the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, the nuns, non. No religion, either atheistic or agnostic or, you know, it's just the secularization, right? The secularization. So it's disheartening, but it's not surprising. Shouldn't be surprising. And what's hard, I think, is those of us who are a little bit older, or much older, in your case, Geraldine. But you know, really, it's because we sometimes take for granted that these young people know what we know, but they don't. Mm-mm. They haven't had the experience. You know, we're going back. Even Christina, you're still young. You're still young, but even I think from my generation to your generation. So they were talking 20 years difference, mm-hmm. 60 to 40. Tony's 50, so I put you more in my category.
Good place to be.
Yeah. Geraldine is, hers is a whole, another category.
Right, out in orbit.
Out in orbit. But the point is, you know, as you're speaking to these the young people, they don't know what it was. You know, when there was, you know, you went to Mass, you obeyed the commandments, not certainly many. And as I mentioned in this letter that I wrote Tuesday, I truly believe, and I've said it here many times, most people are very good people.
Yes.
But we're talking about something that is... it's not about being good people. It's about being religious people, God-fearing people. Yeah. It's people who live their life with respect for God and with a sensitivity to morality and to virtue. And to the Pope was saying the other day that three words, I don't have it with me, but three words that could save a family. And they were things like, for instance, may I... thank you, and there was another one too. But it's all about politeness and courtesy.
Or please,
yeah. Please, perhaps, please. May I please. Thank you, or can I help you, mm-hmm. or something to that effect? You know, okay. can I? Again, it's about giving. What can I do for you? What can I do for you? You know, when you live your life, because you're raised this way. You know, you're raised this way. So as you can't just go through life thinking about yourself, but you know, you've got to, how is this going to affect the people I walk with, the people I live with, the people I commune with, or what I communicate?
Encounter.
But anyway, so it's but this idea that nones are significantly, progressively, rapidly increasing. People just don't want affiliation with religion. Again, it's God on their terms, if it's even God.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're talking about atheism. We're talking about agnosticism. We're talking agnosticism. Perhaps there's a God out there, but he's somehow disconnected. He's, you know, it's...
Or we're our own gods.
Or like we're idolatry, you know. Yeah. If we're not our gods, then
the money.
I was watching the other day, by the way, Tony. You'll know this because I think you're really big into this. But Marilyn Manson, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, Nick, you're right.
Yeah, I've heard some of his music, but that guy.
It's really out there.
I'm not really
out there.
Into him.
Yeah, but I was watching.
I know who you're talking about.
Sure. I was watching it occurred to me as I was talking to somebody yesterday. But I happened to. I don't know. Sometimes I dabble in this stuff. Mm-hmm. I like to, you know, just see what's going on out there. But and he's history anyway, isn't he? I mean, he's an old man now, but
he's pretty much done. I think
he's done. But kind of like to go back and see what did I miss. You know, what did I miss?
Yeah, you didn't miss.
You didn't miss much.
No. But you know, I'll tell you, I was watching just a little bit because, like Nick said, I just even the it's an assault to the it's rude, it's loud, it even what is it that people see in this? But in his concert, and it's very gross and very vulgar, but the people, just the thousands and thousands of people in the and the it's very diabolical too.
That's what I was
very
say.
Diabolical.
But and, you know, when he talks too, I mean, if you've ever listened to him, he's not that image.
Himself?
It's really interesting. Even some of these people, when you actually get these one-on-one conversations with them, some of these guys are really, guys and gals, are really deep, and you see that it's an image.
It's an ego.
I just don't see how people can follow that.
Yeah,
that and ego, I agree.
Yeah. Sure. Well, the thing is, you know, they create an image that then becomes an idol.
Yeah,
for people,
right,
and so they become gods.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know because I listened to an interview with him, just as with what's his name, Lady Gaga. Who really, you know, if you just
I was going to mention
you have a cup of coffee with you, sit down around a table, you think you're dealing with
someone else.
Just a very nice, and then same thing with Marilyn Manson, you know.
It's some of the music today too, which I don't really get into the. I don't know what you would classify it as. But when you start listening to the words and you start looking at the image, and then you think, these people can't be like this in real life. You know, it's just the image they portray, and you almost, I understand now idolatry more than I ever did, because sure, people now follow the image, mm-hmm, the party all the time, or have a good time. Yeah. And I bet these people are just like, oh, I have to get up and do this again.
But they do it.
Yeah,
and they do it. But do they understand the great harm that they're doing, mm-hmm, to society, really, and it is a harm to society. Yeah. And at the same time, let's not canonize them, because a lot of them do have problems with drugs and alcohol, mm-hmm, and they have, they can't seem to remain committed to one person or another, than marriage or whatever. So there is that. But you're right, and this is the illusion. Mm-hmm. It's seductive. It's a deception, but there is disorder in their lives, because mm-hmm, you can't. Because here's the lack of sensitivity. Because if I really have sensitivity to God, because they are people who are in rebellion, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, they're rebelling, and the rebellion is being manifested in a very public way. Even though in their private lives, they seem quite normal, and you could and quite intelligent too, mm-hmm, very mm-hmm intelligent. But in any case, things get a little bit skewed, just like in faith and religion, as is mentioned in the letter that I wrote, that we need to be radical Christians, but that doesn't mean fanatical.
No,
that doesn't mean there's a difference between radical and fanatical. Fanaticism is skewed, and it distorts and it perverts and misrepresents. Right. So you get these dangers in society. Number one, indifference. To be indifferent, it's very dangerous to society. We have to have passion. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There has to be passion for life, and passion for good, and passion for beauty. That has to be nurtured in our lives. But indifference to God and to the things of God and all things sacred, that's very dangerous. Mm-hmm. Jesus says, you're hot or you're cold. Declare yourself, because if you're lukewarm or indifferent, I spit you out of my mouth. Because there's a point now, and I think we're in this point where we've got to declare who we are.
Yeah.
And with this Pew Research report, this is, well, people are making a declaration. I am not affiliated with, will I affiliate with any religion. I am a none. Mm-hmm. And the other thing would be, indifference, fanaticism, and that happens often when there's a void that's created. And then we can become rather fanatical, because we're filling that void, and so we easily can get skewed and pervert to distort religion or whatever. And there was another one too, Christine. Do you remember what it was? Indifference. I forget the other one I just said. Fanaticism. And maybe it's just overt hostility. I don't know. An overt hostility against God.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned about the mocking of God, which is very dangerous. All this is, see, right now, as long as we can get, we go our way, we do this, we mock God, we have no regard for the commandments of God, we live this perverted kind of a life where everything is upside down. We call it, again, the diabolical disorientation. And, for right now, eat, drink, and be merry, get lost in the orgies and all that kind of stuff. I use that because of the biblical reference to that, when the people were worshiping the golden calf. But the day of reckoning will come, and it'll catch us like a thief in the night, as the scripture says. And ruin will be the cry of the land. Mm. Ruin will be the cry of the land. History has shown this over and over and over again. And how quickly, how easily we forget, because we don't see beyond ourselves. And if you don't have the society reinforcing, the virtues and the morality, the principles, the faith, then, we let the Marilyn Mansons and just the influence they have over these people. It was just amazing. But anyway, going back to this, it's all kind of related. So the future church, according to Pope Benedict, I find this fascinating. I just wanted to share this with you, because we have to decide, again, a decision. How do we be? What must we do? You know, because we can sit here and we can bemoan the fact, and maybe that's what we're doing, right? And we keep thinking, you know, well, we gotta fight for this. We have to certainly make a contribution to the good of society, to the common good, to the principles and values that will ensure a genuine freedom and peace well into the future. But if the society decides, you know, because we're not going to put a gun to anybody's head, we're not going to take anybody's head off, we're not going to, you know, decapitate or, no. You know, no, it's just but we do have a voice and we have a responsibility to, first and foremost, to live and certainly to speak, to declare, this is who we are, this is what we believe, this is what has been foreordained, has been handed on to us. And it is, the bottom line is, it is about the nurturing of a relationship with a living God, God who is not hidden in his heaven beyond and beyond, but God who is closer to us than we are to ourselves. So, okay, so having said that, Joseph Cardinal Ratzinger, so this is before he was the Pope, these rather prophetic words, because, and again, this is today the survey that people are fretting about the future of the faith. Well, this commentary by Thomas MacDonald, he says, don't fret about the future of the faith. Don't fret about that. We've known this future was coming for decades, and now we just have to do the work of sustaining vibrant faith community to see us through these coming trials and darkness. In other words, the future is here. It's time to prepare the future by building up the local and the domestic church to sustain itself through dark times. And he says, and this is, I'm reading this more and more and more, and I feel it myself. He says, one day, America as we know it will cease to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the inevitable outcome of the engine of history. There are no thousand-year Reichs. Is it Reichs? The Reichs? Is that how you say it? The Reichs? There are only the shattered remains of fallen empires,
mm-hmm.
and it would be mere hubris to assume America will avoid this fate. It appears that this hour may be closer than some of us would like to think. From the crisis of today, the Church of tomorrow will emerge. And this is what Pope Benedict said.
Yeah.
From the crisis of today, the Church of tomorrow will emerge. So we're going to take a break. We'll come back, and I want to go through what the Pope has said, because I think it's a reality that has to be acknowledged, and we have to understand what we must do. We're not going to go back. We cannot go back. The winds have changed. So everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back, and I'll share with you these very prophetic words of Pope Benedict. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. We'll be right back.
Winds of Change holds in our hearts and prayers those who gave their full measure in defense of our nation. Remember their sacrifice on this day of remembrance, Memorial Day. You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link, Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
The best candidate for marriage is the very person who would be a good candidate for monasticism. And the best candidate for monasticism would be the very person who would be a good candidate for marriage. I'm Father Thomas J. Loy with a Theology of the Body moment for the Tabor Life Institute. Celibacy and marriage are not opposed to each other. They are actually two sides of the same coin. Marriage and celibacy are both choices to love, to make a gift of self, to live spousally. Happy marriages are those which have the element of the monastic in them, prayer, discipline, dying to self, and a sense of belonging ultimately to God. A celibate is happiest when he or she lives their celibacy spousally, making a gift of self to God and to others. The married couple reminds the celibate of the spousal dimension of his or her celibacy. The celibate reminds the married couple of the sacramental nature of their marriage. To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taberlife.org. Taberlife.org.
Welcome back, everybody, and thanks for being with us. So we're talking about the future church. The future is here. Mm-hmm. So Pope Benedict, this is as he was Joseph Cardinal Ratzinger, he speaks about the crisis of today. From the crisis of today, the church of tomorrow will emerge. He says, a church that has lost much, she will become small. She will have to start afresh more or less from the beginning. Mm-hmm. She will no longer be able to inhabit many of the edifices she built in prosperity. As the number of her adherents diminishes, so will she lose many of her social privileges. In contrast to an earlier age, she will be seen much more as a voluntary society, entered only by free decision. As a small society, she will make much bigger demands on the initiative of her individual members. Undoubtedly, she will discover new forms of ministry and will ordain to the priesthood approved Christians who pursue some profession. In many smaller congregations or in self-contained social groups, pastoral care will be normally provided in this fashion. Alongside this, the full-time ministry of the priesthood will be indispensable as formerly. In other words, it'll require the full-time work of a priest, mm-hmm. you know. But in all the changes at which one might guess, the church will find her essence afresh and with full conviction in that which was always at her center, faith in the triune God, in Jesus Christ, the Son of God made man, in the presence of the Spirit and to the end of the world. In faith and prayer, she will again recognize her true center and experience the sacraments again as the worship of God and not as a subject for liturgical scholarship. He says the church will be a more spiritual church, mm-hmm. not presuming upon a political mandate, mm-hmm. flirting as little with the left as with the right. Yeah. It will be hard going for the church, for the process of crystallization and clarification will cost her much valuable energy, which is exactly what we're doing now. It will make her poor and cause her to become the church of the meek. The process will be all the more arduous, for sectarian narrow-mindedness as well as pompous self-will will have to be shed. One may predict that all of this will take time. The process will be long and wearisome, as was the road from the false progressivism of the eve of the French Revolution, when a bishop might be thought smart if he made fun of dogmas and even insinuated that the existence of God was by no means certain to the renewal of the 19th century. But when the trial of this sifting is past, and we're in that period of sifting, you can just feel it. I feel it. You know, because you're trying, how do we, as I keep asking the question, you know, how do we communicate, how do we convey the faith to a people that don't seem to want it? Mm-hmm. Well, it's not that they don't seem to want it, they don't.
They don't want it.
They don't want it. And so, you know, and the experiments or experimentation, what he's saying is we got to go back to the very essence of who we are. And even this political affiliation or where we're going back and forth between the right and the left and all that, it's almost as if we're my own sense is, I keep thinking this, that, well, you know, society has decided, mm-hmm. or the powers to be have decided for the masses, that this is the way it's going to be. And so, you know, okay. So be it. Let the society go the way it chooses. Only the future will tell. The future will be the judge. God will ultimately be the judge, right?
Right. And back to the time of the Acts of the Apostles. We're going right back to what it was in the beginning.
Well, that's exactly. Can you explain that?
Well, what other place is there to go than that? The people in the beginning, in the Acts of the Apostles, they cared about each other. They took care of each other. And they didn't have committees and different little ministries so that everybody could have a little role. They all did something. And that's the important thing. Just do where you happen to be, do something and help others.
Because the life was lived in Christ.
Right.
In other words, it's I think we're perhaps having to break, not a break away from, because you the church, by the mere fact that she's in history, she is an institution.
Yes.
But we can't be, institutionalism is necessary. It's, mm-hmm. you know, so even when people will speak about, well, we're non-denominational Christians. Well, no, you know, a family is an institution.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When people gather, when they form a common ideology, a common way of believing or living, or, you know, they have to, you have to institutionalize. There's the reality of institution because we're in time, space, reality.
Right.
But if we just stay there, then we of course it's not going to work. It may have worked, but it won't work today. We've got to become who we really are, and what are we? But we're the mystical body of Christ. So I've said this many times in the last month or so. It's been in my mind that we have to allow ourselves to be swept into the divinity of God, which means that, you know, we have a living and a dynamic and a adventurous relationship with Jesus Christ. So it's, Jesus is not, as I say so often, hidden in his heaven beyond the beyond, but the Lord is closer to us than we are to ourselves, and we have to discover that the nearness of God, and then have this great sensitivity to God. So it's even the commandments of God make sense because I have relationship with God. So it's because of this relationship. It's just, take any time when you're in relationship with somebody, a friend or, you know, a husband to a wife, whatever. You begin to conform, right? You begin to conform to, because you want to safeguard and preserve mm-hmm. this relationship. Ideally, this would be the mm-hmm. case, right? Mm-hmm. If you fall in love, certainly, then you're willing to sacrifice all kinds of things to maintain and sustain and to grow in this relationship. Mm-hmm. Isn't that the case?
Mm-hmm.
And so it is with God. You know, we have this relationship, and so we don't want to damage or destroy or pervert or distort, mm-hmm. but we want to grow in that relationship. So we're always in the quest to know God all the more. But it means a constant nurturing of this relationship with God, and certainly, and we're talking about the God of Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has revealed himself in Jesus. And so it's not, you can never say, or people can say it, but it's an untruth to say, and I've heard it so often mm-hmm. said, and we've talked about it here as well, but it's the narrative today, well, you know, God and I have something, and we've got it worked out. We don't need the church. We don't need religion. Mm-hmm. We don't need the commandments because I'm good and God created me this way. And, you know, so he and I understand each other. And so I can basically do what I want. This is
and then you mentioned the letter. I just remembered about ignorance of sacred scriptures, ignorance.
As the saints have said,
yeah.
I forget which saint specifically said that, but mm-hmm. ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. Mm-hmm. And so you can't, and that's mm-hmm. the thing, you cannot, you really cannot be a true Catholic. You Catholic in name, yes, of course, a Catholic in name,
yes.
A Christian name,
yeah.
But you cannot be a true Catholic, as the Church understands herself, mm-hmm. If you don't enter into the gospel story, into the gospel message, and if you're not participating in the sacramental life of the church, and even if you cannot, because there's an impediment, participate fully in the mm-hmm. Eucharist, because until that situation is reconciled with the church, nonetheless, you participate by your mere presence,
right?
You know, in humility, coming before the Lord, everybody can place themselves before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, before a friend, before the Messiah, before the Master, the Teacher. And this is this idea of discipleship. This is the thing we have to understand, that we are disciples. We are disciples. We're not just mere members of the church, members of a club, or a fraternity, or an organization, or an institution. No, we're members of a mystical body, the mystical body of Christ. This is the family of God. And so the Pope goes on to say, well, I'll tell you what, we'll take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll kind of wrap up with this. I said we kind of wrap up. We will wrap up with this.
Well, okay.
So, all right, Nick, we're going to take a break. All right. So I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to the Support of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change holds in our hearts and prayers those who gave their full measure in defense of our nation. Remember their sacrifice on this day of remembrance, Memorial Day. Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to His people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. You'll find a little bit of yesterday that will delight you today at the Family Hearth General Store, a nonprofit ministry of forming faithful families in historic Frankfort, Illinois. The 1870s style old storefront honors home, faith, and family life, featuring vintage wares and unique gifts for special family occasions. From Victorian replicas, vintage decor, quilts, candles, antique samplers, and jewelry, to unique books, hand-milled soaps, old-time candy, ice cream, and bottles of pop, you'll find a warm welcome here around the family hearth. A cozy fireplace, fresh gourmet coffees, and teas await your visit. So come, sit a spell. Find us on the main street of Frankfort at 119 Kansas Street, and be sure to visit the online store at formingfaithfulfamilies.com. Like us on Facebook or give us a call at 708-334-1988.
Welcome back, everybody. As we kind of wrap up. That's one of those things. We kind of. What does that mean? We sort of. Mm-hmm. We do. We will. We have to wrap up. But I've been sharing the words of Pope Benedict before he was Pope. You know, as a cardinal, very prophetic, and he's speaking about the future of the church. Well, the future is here. It's here, and this is only the beginning. This is only the beginning, as he says. You know. And so he says, but when the trial of this sifting is passed, this is a purification. I had written about this in the letter as well. You know, this we're being tested, we're being tried, we're being purified. This is a good, because it is to bring us to authentic faith. You know, authenticity. As you were saying in the break, Geraldine, that you know of your own family, that many. What were you saying?
Well, you know, everybody was proud to be Catholic, but they really didn't live it the way I would hope it will be now.
Sure.
With everybody really caring about the other guy.
Because it was a cultural thing, kind of.
Yes.
It was a cultural thing. This is you identified. This is who you were. It was, you know, you lived within this institution. You lived within this organization. It gave you an identity. There were traditions that were kept and all that. And this is a good. But the testing today, the sifting, this trial of when we're in this trial of faith, and we have to sift. When the sifting is passed, when we're being purified, in other words, we're being brought to the core of who we are, and that is discipleship, life lived in Christ, in Jesus Christ, who is very near to us, not distant from us. Mm-hmm. And so those who have the humility, because it takes great humility and it takes great courage, I think, and heroism. I say this all the time. I wrote humility, courage, and it's a heroic thing, I believe. But the Pope says that men in a totally planned world will find themselves unspeakably lonely because the world is being planned for us. Government is creating the plan. Mm-hmm. We will be will find themselves unspeakably lonely. If they have completely lost sight of God, they will feel the whole horror of their poverty, the horror of their poverty. Then they will discover the little flock of believers as something wholly new. They will discover it as a hope that is meant for them, an answer for which they have always been searching in secret without even knowing. And so it seems certain to me that the church is facing very hard times. The real crisis has scarcely begun. We're only seeing the tip of the iceberg. We will have to count on terrific upheavals. But at the end, not the church of the political cult, which is dead already, but the church of faith will emerge, and she may well no longer be the dominant social power to the extent that she has was up until recently, but she will enjoy a fresh blossoming and be seen as man's home, where he will find life and hope beyond death. Beyond death. Christina, we're just about out of time, but you mentioned a Fatima, you know, and I do believe that this is the why of the sanctuaries, and you know that, and I believe here too, you know, Our Lady is sprinkling the world with sanctuaries so that there can be, in a simple way, in a humble way. It has to be simple. It has to be humble. We're not talking about mega churches. We're talking about sanctuary where people can pass through these doors, and they know they're in sacred space. There's an encounter with God, and they're not alone because others are on the quest with them. And I think this is certainly what's needed. So in many ways, I guess the point is that the future is here. Oh, yeah. The future is on us. And this is, again, perhaps the tip of the iceberg. Again, we don't know in God's divine wisdom, in his providential care. He's the Lord of history. So we don't know what God might do or what he may permit to happen that will perhaps collectively awaken people to faith, you know, to a return to God. But right now, as I go back to what you said, Jerry, so often, as long as we got our toys and our trinkets and our, you know,
all
our distractions, you know, life is fine with me. Who cares about you or about you? Mm-hmm. You know, again, it's the givers and the takers. As long as we're taking, you know, enough takers together, as again, they begin to isolate and then they create their own loneliness. Because they say, what is hell? Hell is, I had heard it described once, in hell, that's where all the takers are in hell. the food is at the table, but their forks are so long that they can't reach. And all they'd have to do is take the fork and feed the person across from them.
Yes.
But they don't know to do that.
No.
Because they lived their life taking, and now they can't take because the forks are too long. Does that make sense? Anyway, well, I think we're out of time, so. Anyway, let's be givers, you know. As Christians, we must be givers. We wake up in the morning giving first to God and then through God to others. Hey, thanks very much for being with us. We will be back tomorrow, God willing. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
Meaningless thought, the shallow be strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed.